Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is poet, broadcaster, oracle, Val Jones, and you're listening to the host with the most, Tanya E., on Sound Off, Only Fear Fears, on Blog Talk.
Ladies and gents, do not attempt to adjust your radio. You're about to witness a hip-hop rock verbal assault. Imperial stays on guard, and when it comes to...
We go hard! This is hard to get. This time Imperial gears quick. Yo, flow come hard like an arsenal. Here comes flames, they gon' bust the doom. Yo, this is how we eat them. Cross out the leader. Rats come through, we attack in the field. You can't play with us, they get slain with the crust. Lyrical close to a can of touch. Yo, this is that stop a nigga right in the face. Finish line! We won the race. Get hammer like soul, polarized like polo. Lyrics tight, and this y'all gon' know. Yo, this is that toxic ammonia bleak. 25 mil, we about to reach. We here, we there, present the blessed mics, we everywhere, we earn them strikes.
That's in Mexico, Texas,
all those that are involved in the eye of the storm that's surrounding areas, family, because we never know when we will be affected as well. So put your prayers out there. Keep some ignorant comments to yourself, because you never know when tragedy is going to hit you. So let's move forward, family. Again, let's get into some hip hop. Yes, we're doing some hip hop today. So without further ado, family, I'd like to introduce you to our we go way back. I think more than 20 years. Ooh, we. Yes, but we don't look our age. But hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yes. Our special feature guest is one of the original members of an old school, I can't say old school because he's not that old, one of hip hop legend groups of hip hop that actually kind of took a taste of or kind of on the same line with our pioneers of Afrika Van Baba and Soul Sound and Force. Their music was hip hop, but they took it to the level of electro funk type of thing. So without further ado, Sam, let's introduce you all to our king, our brother, MC L. But I know it's Mr. L.
What's going on?
What's that? Okay, now look, don't be all fly guy over there, Mr. Scorpio. We understand what season we in right now. So don't even try it, okay?
Oh, what it is I just woke up. How about that?
Oh, God, you on the West Coast, right?
West Coast, yeah, I just woke up.
So. Okay, babe. All right, well, put your NYC clock on. And let's break this.
Yeah, I woke up with my fitted on, so I'm good.
You woke up with your what?
With my New York fitted on, so I had to get in New York mode.
Okay, got you. To the front. Yes, he's talking about his hat, y'all. Uh-huh. To the front. Let's go. Mr. L, King L, Don. Well, they call you now King L.
Yeah, right.
Let our listeners know a little bit about you for those that do not know. You come from the original group called Imperial Brothers. Let them know, fam, and let's move forward in breaking our bread for this day.
Okay, the group started in the 80s, and, we started playing in the parks with Bambada, Dougie Fresh, Cold Crush, you know, all those groups. This is before all the record deals really came to play, and, we were doing that for a few years, and then all of a sudden, we got a record deal. Everybody started getting record deals at that time. It was Force MDs, everybody, so we kind of took it away from the parks, and everybody just... You know, everybody just got signed and was doing their own thing. So pretty much, as we used to call the jams, they were just like the extinct. They just didn't do them anymore. So that's really where Imperial Brothers took a turn and just started doing everything. But what happened was our deal was a New York deal, but our records were imported to overseas, whereas England and France and everything. So our music just took a turn, like, not away from New York, being that we were in the parks doing all that, you know, the outside jams. But it's just that our records just went, you know, towards the UK and everything. It was just overseas. So you didn't hear too much about us. You heard us on the radio, but as far as performing, it was always overseas for us.
And I can understand that because the flavor, the ingredients that you all had is basically the pioneers, Afrika Van Baba and Soul Sound and Force, because you all had like the performance like them. So yeah, hip hop still on our end weren't ready, because Afrika Van Baba, you know, and them and Soul Sound and Force, salute to them, they had that all by themselves. So maybe that's why you all went, but yet and still you still have a history and so forth. So let's get into it, Brother L. We need to know about you. How did you get into the form of the microphone?
Well, the way it started was me and a friend of mine used to have like little phonographs in the house. I took my little sister's phonograph and he took his little phonograph and put it together. We bought a little mixer, right? And we just started a little DJing in the house. I think we were probably like about 10 years old or something. Started DJing in the house, and that's where everything started, where I said, all right, well, he's a DJ, I'll be the MC. So we just started doing it like that. So we were pretty young when we did it. So then after, you know, doing that and making our little tapes, I realized there's something going on in the streets right now. And that's when Kool Herc was doing his thing and Bam was doing his thing in Bronx River. So I said, all right, it's time to take this to another level. So I started meeting members one by one. Everybody was doing their own thing in their own little parts of the Bronx. So I started recruiting everybody, let's do something. And that's pretty much how it started, you know, just looking around, seeing what everybody else was doing. I just kind of gravitated towards it. So you're
the original group member, and then you started bringing other members along? Okay, outstanding, outstanding. And, okay, so your influences were who? Because I don't want to say it, but let them hear it from your own mouth, because, yeah, that's why you're here.
my influences? Man,
what?
That's hard to say.
Really?
Yeah, that's real hard. I mean, it wasn't really anybody who influenced me. As they were doing it, I just was, you know, saying, wait a minute, I could do that too. So I just started looking around at what everybody was doing. I think the first time I saw somebody doing something was Breakout and Baron and Funky Four. And I stood there and I said, I could do this. This is nothing. So that's when I saw them. I mean, so if you want to say somebody influenced me, I guess that was like the first show that I really went to. And I saw them performing. And that's when I said, I think I want to do this. And, you know, that was Funky Four was way back. And Breakout and them. So that pretty much made me say, I want to do this. And then after that, that's when all the other groups started coming out. And I just started looking around and seeing what's going on.
So being born and raised in the BX, where hip hop started, as we know, as the fact and the truth. And then it just, you know, it just spread it out all over the place because it's an art that that was created through the Zulu Nation and so forth. So,
yeah.
Born and raised in the Bronx, I think we were literally, the hip hop found us.
Yeah.
We didn't find it because we were born in the era, right?
Now,
were you a B-boy? You know, because I mean, again, being born and raised in the Bronx, as myself as well, we were in it, you know, and it was like you had to be part of one of the elements. And you chose to do the MC. Did you do the b-boying? Did you do the DJing? Did you do all five elements? I mean, tell us. Talk to me, man. I know you're in the
West
Coast. You got that NYC hat on. Tell us.
I did the DJing. I did that for a while. And, I mean, as far as the b-boying, I used to hang around Rocksteady and Crazy Legs and them. And I just was like, I'm not doing that. He's spinning on the head and the nose. I said, I'm not doing that. But, you know, I'll stick to the MC, and I was cool. I was pretty much one of those cool dudes. I'm not spinning around like that. But, you know, as far as DJing, I think the first real big show that we DJed, that I DJed at, was T-Connection, White Plains Road. I don't know if you remember that, but that's when
Force
MC.
You're
probably
listening on your podcast, which means I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
underage.
See? Yeah, I was underage, but what's the name? Force MDs, they perform. I think Spoonie G, Cold Crush, WizKid. So all of those people on there, that was a flyer out for it and everything. That was the first big show that I was at that I really said, okay, it's taking a turn now because, you know, this is not the Parks anymore. So this is like a paid show or whatever. But that's the first time I ever really DJed. And then right after that is when I just grabbed the microphone. I said, all right, I'd rather take this to another level. So that around that time, the MCs were getting all the run. You know, in, as far as music, but then it turned. Now it's like all the DJs are getting out there. You got DJs is making mixtapes and grabbing MCs and putting it on there, but the main focus is the DJs right now, in my opinion.
Well, you're right, because without the music, there is no artist. I mean, you would just be a person just talking, and folks' attention span would be short if it's not giving them anything of their interest. You know, so,
exactly.
Yeah, definitely know about T-Connection. Live right there, 712, the first building, and face the subway. Oh, yes, we did. But, speaking on that, too, tell us a little about the change, because I love when I get the chance to speak to my brothers and sisters of the culture and breaking bread and bringing truth to what our youth are not doing today. It's not the point of what they're not doing, it's what they have not been taught, because so many things have shifted, and it's not like we didn't see it. It seemed as if the greed came in, because like you said before, it was the gyms in the park. And from the park, it went inside to where money started, you know, transferring in hands. And then they seen the eyes got big with the money. It's like, yo, we can do this. So you all paved the way for what the artists are able to get today. Tell us a little bit your perspective on that.
On where it's going or where it came from, or what do you mean?
Right, from the time you have started to the middle point of your career to where it is now, because it's actually three seasons we have endured at our age. So let's talk it.
Well, I think when we started it, it was fun. It was more fun then. And then it was still fun around, you know, after signing the deal, getting a record deal, it was still a little fun. It started switching up right there because the focus went to money and how much of the royalties and where's the publishing. That's when it started taking a little turn because, as we all know, we went through it. Somebody took our publishing, and we didn't know. We were just so focused on, you know, doing the shows and touring and, you know, we got records out, so let's perform. We get our little performance money, but then as far as, like, the publishing and everything, we didn't know what was going on. We didn't realize, wait a minute, that's money for us. Meanwhile, somebody was taking that money from us. But, you know, that's where it took a turn where I realized there's people out there that's not getting money that should be getting money. So, you know, that's where it took a turn at. And then it's like now, it's like that's all everybody's focus on. If you listen to the radio, listen to a lot of artists now, it's like there's not no lyricism anymore. It's just those beats that make you bounce up and down and with a little crazy hook. And it's like everybody's gravitating towards it. I think it's a younger generation, really. But anybody who knows an art form will pick out certain artists and say, I want to listen to this, I want to listen to that. But it's like you listen to the radio now, it's like most of the time you're going to turn it off and throw your iPad on, or you know, throw a CD into something, because the stuff right now is just not, it's just not what it should be, you know.
It has not progressed the growth on where we have come from. And
yeah, exactly. I don't think it's ever going to get back. I mean, everybody's trying to bring it back to that. Hopefully it is. Right. You got artists like Eminem, people like that are lyricists that are trying to bring the lyrics back. But it's like a battle because it's you know,
okay,
the other side is winning.
Name? I'm not trying to be biased, but can you please come up with a different name than Eminem? I normally call it Eminem. Oh, sorry. I keep it real on my field. Can you come up with a different artist, please? I'm on the West Coast, but,
you know, as I started to say that, I said, maybe I shouldn't use that as an example, but,
you sure don't.
You know, I'm just... I'm honestly just going by lyricist. I'm just talking about just somebody.
Real L. Come on, man. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's why I hesitate. I was like, well, let's see.
It didn't work.
But no, nah, but I'm talking about lyricists, like lyrics, you know, like you got Kendrick Lamar. You got people that are really writing their stuff that you can hear the art form. Like, okay, they're really doing what they got to do. Rakim is still, he's still around. And you listen to what he's doing, it's like he's showing you lyrics, like this is what it's about. But everybody's not going to, you know, you got people like Nas lyrics. This is what should be coming back. But everybody wants to jump around and hop around to that crazy music, and that's it, and that's where it's going, you know.
Well, I believe I have become lyrically deaf on purpose. And being, you know, from the industry myself, as you know, I done been there. I done did street promotion for a lot of artists as well as West Coast. When I did, I used to be the street market, NYC market person for Intermittent Records, which had our brother Just Dice on there, RBL Posse, rest in peace to the two members, and my contact person, always give love and respect to him, brother Frederick Johnson III. And when I was doing the West Coast promotion on the East Coast, I was told, like, basically, you know, you trade. I'm like, I'm not trading nothing. It's enough pie for everyone. But it wasn't as vulgar you know, as what it is. Like, we still had our mentality on what to take and what to put aside that wasn't forced. But unfortunately, our youth today and those that are promoting this more or less violence and poison within their ears and their actions, it's causing the purpose of what the culture is about to vanish. And I understand, like you, like you said, it's a lot of you, like a lot of you, like you, Grandmaster Caz. I see Positive K back on the roster. You know, Big Daddy Kane, a host, you know, Chuck Rock. I see a host of everyone trying to come back because there is definitely something wrong. And we're trying to make a difference to let kids hear, but they still calling us old school, even though I know my mirror's not broken. I've been told that we don't look our age. I kind of assumed that maybe, you know, there was something visually wrong with the individuals that's saying I look like I'm about 30-something. But with the 30-year-olds, they're acting and looking like they're in their 60s with
no disrespect to them.
Right, no disrespect to them because no one showed them the way properly. So now that we're trying to do something, it seems as if we are now our parents when we called our parents old, and our younger generation is calling us old like you don't know nothing, but at least we listen. And I think that's one of the things that's not happening today is that our younger generation is not listening, one. Two, too many, it's a lot of our folks, too, of our age that are still trying to feed the young minds. Like when you go into the booth and you write in your lyrics to that beat that producer put together, who are you really talking to? What audience are you really trying to reach?
Exactly.
So, with that being said, tell us, what are you doing today? Because I know you two, you're on the West Coast, you're about to tour again yourself. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with you at this point now.
Well, right now, we're doing a lot of different singles deals, like all over the country, like Germany, UK, Switzerland. We're just doing singles deals. I think it's you can generate more money by doing a lot of singles deals with all these different labels, and it's working rather than just doing an album. But no album. One label offered us to do an album deal, but the budget just wasn't there. It just wasn't worth it. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So, so we're just pretty much doing a lot of singles deals. We got one in Atlanta coming, and, you know, we got a Wu-Tang. There's a Wu-Tang album coming out next month. So we're on that album. So we're just doing a lot of these little singles deals. But as far as that, it's doing the singles deals. We're just trying to get this tour together. That's with Positive K, Houdini, MC Sticky, you know, and some of the UK artists, and Sammy from Jungle Brothers, trying to get that on popping off like the end of November up to like January. So what it is, the problem is that we have promoters that book us, but then you have another promoter that wants to book you 2 weeks from that. So we're trying to fill in all the gaps so we don't have to come back and forth to the States. But that's the problem. You know, everybody's, you know, we're just trying to fill them in. Nobody wants certain dates, and then, you know, we'll be sitting around for 2 weeks. But a lot of the promoters out there are being cheap. They want the artists, but they're being cheap. They don't want to spend the airfare, but they'll pay you for your performance or something. So we're pretty much trying to get that together. Yeah, they want the artists out there, but then a lot of them, you know, they say, okay, we'll pay you X amount for a show, but your plane tickets are $1,000 each. And if you got about four members, that's $4,000 just for your plane fare. And they're trying to beat the cost. Like, okay, well, if you're already out here, we'll book you for a show, but we don't want to pay that airfare.
Oh, no. And they need to talk to the other promoters and come together and say, listen, we want them here. You want them there. See, let's go back to that greed, man. It's like folks really don't understand, L. That is the same. That's the same scheme that slave masters do. It is what it is. You pay me for my work. You want me, you book me. And that's another thing that goes into play where a lot of the fans don't know what's really going on behind the scenes. They want
yeah,
you, but don't realize the fight that you
yeah.
you have to get in order to get there. You know, so what's happening in the club scenes out there in West Coast? And because the West Coast, they do a lot of electro dance, and that's, I think, you know what? When I seen one of the videos, or somewhere I was at, actually I went to Florida, oh my goodness, a long time ago. I was dancing Debbie Gibson or something like that.
Mm.
But the music that you all have, that baseline music like that, thump, 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 that's not really what we would consider hip-hop, but it's electro hip-hop because you all are on some, like, house music to another level.
Right.
It was a little
well,
bit
I mean, what we,
that,
what
like,
we...
why did you all choose that? And not just go like
well,
a regular...
You know,
mm-hmm.
Honestly, we didn't choose that. What happened was when we got that first deal, they pretty much handed us the music and said, here. And I'm like, well, what's this? They said, oh, it's going to work. You know, Bambaataa's doing this. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. But, you know, you young, you want the deal. You're like, all right, well, I'll give me the record. I took the record. And I wrote everything, the hooks and everything. And I said, this is the best I could do with this beat. Like, it was just, the beat was just horrible. But I said, all right. So I did the best I could. And it came out pretty good because it was kind of successful out there.
Well, everybody
like,
know about what we want to play at the end of our show. We come to rock. See, so now you done said what was needed to be said. You don't only create the music, but the producer has the itch of Afro Bambaataa, and then they brought you all in as the prototype to add on to this, and this is what's going to happen. And that's why they probably took your publishing, because they knew.
They
take the credit for, listen, we put you here. So now
this
belongs to us. But you know what? We all have been shook some way in this industry of our hard work and in our grind, but you know, at the end of the day, after those experiences, it makes us a better person, artist, and our field, and no one can take it away from us, correct?
Yeah, I learned the business up and down after that. So, but I mean, you know, that was like the electro hip hop record, whatever. But, you know, as you can tell, if you see by now, I don't know if you've seen a lot of the records that we're doing, we're trying to get more back to the hip hop lift from the streets. So all these records that we've been doing lately, is whether it be collabos or whatever, it's more on that hip-hop, straight hip-hop level, and that's what we're trying to do. Now, don't get me wrong. We're still going to do the electro because, you know, that pays the bills, but we're trying to switch it to, all right, we can still do our hip-hop. You know, the labels might transform us to do something else, but we're just letting people know that we can still, you know, do that straight hip-hop, and that's what's going on now. There's a whole bunch of records that we're doing. We got a trap hip hop record. Now, you know, we don't really like the trap music, but I said let's just try it out. It's always good to just try something out. So, you know, that's the route we're going now. We're just trying to do everything instead of just straight electro. So as far as like on the West Coast, you know, I've done a few shows on the West Coast, and we have to do that hip hop. You can't do no electro. They don't. They're not really digging
like,
that up here.
You
but
go down to like the other end of the water.
Yeah, like San Francisco. San Francisco, you can get away with that. Like we got a record that we did 2012 on this UK label in Universal distributed. It's called Breathe. Now, Breathe is kind of like a club record, so we got away with that. We performed that and did that. So that they like that. But then right after that, we had to do some hip-hop. And then, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Certain shows, certain promoters, especially in New York, they won't book us because they think we're going to get up there and do some electro. And that's just what we're not going to do. But, you know.
Yeah. And you're like, breathe.
And you know how New York is.
We got you. Breathe.
Yeah, breathe.
And then you go to glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, see?
You got to come back prison. We dub to scratch.
Yeah, see?
But
we
also
switching it all up. Yeah, exactly. Basically, you don't know what to expect next from us. Huh?
Okay, so that's cool. Now, before you go, we have a little more time left. Before we go, I always love to ask our guests, actually, don't get scared. You're a Scorpio. Oh, what's your issue? You ready for anything? Okay.
Nah.
I know you're still early for you. I know it's only about 9:30. Okay. No, actually, what I want you to speak to our young men, as you're being a father yourself. Give them some words of encouragement, because our young men are falling to the wayside, and I'm a mother of a son that raised my son by myself with the help of my Trinity team. So, and I'm grateful on how I raised him, but so many of our young men are walking around fatherless. The community has let them down, more or less their own parents and family, because they're conditioned to their environment. What words would you say to our fatherless sons that at this point, or even at half fathers, that more or less trying to be their friend instead of their father, and they want to get in this game, because this game of hip-hop, but it's no longer a game. It's like a life and death sentence at this point.
Yeah.
What would you say to our young men, Brother L?
Well, I mean, I could say what I say to my son, you know, because he's doing this hip-hop thing too. And I tell him, you know, try to keep it clean without the cursing. No one's not going to take you serious. If you're trying to do a record and you have to curse, it's like that's a sign of like you're not really that strong. You're not strong enough to just say the words without cursing. So if you can do that, you're on the right track. So that's basically what I'm trying to do. But, you know, all these young guys, they think that we don't know what we're talking about. But most of them have to learn the hard way, you know. But as far as my son, I'm trying to tell him certain things. I'll talk to him, you know, as his friend, but then I'll tell him, okay, now this is not friend mode right here. This is your father, and then I'll start talking to him about certain things, whatever. But, you know, he relates to me. So what I do is every move that I make, I say to myself, okay, if my sons are watching me, would I do this? And I just don't do it. You know, that's just me. So that's the way I raise them.
Right.
So
our young men, basically, try to be mindful of the words you speak and who you shall follow.
Yeah.
You know, so
basically,
appreciate that, man. I know you a Scorpio. You really don't like to talk. You like to watch.
Exactly. Yeah, you hit it right on the nose at that one. Wow, you hit dog. That's a good one, man.
Love you, man. You know we go back way more than 20 years, man. Oh, my gosh.
No
yes,
doubt.
We do. Yes, we do. I appreciate you for your time.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. So I appreciate you so much, bro. And we're just looking forward to seeing what Imperial Brothers is about to release, and also look out for that tour date. Please be sure to keep us posted. And if you need to come back, the doors are open. But before we go, also let them know how they can get in contact with you just to say.
Okay, well, you can get in touch with me through Facebook. You just put Imperial Brothers and it'll come up. And as far as the tour, anyone who knows any promoters, you know, on the UK side, you just email US to UK Tours 2015-16 at Gmail, and you let the promoters know they can get in contact with you if they want to book that event. But as far as me, Facebook is good enough. You just put Imperial Brothers in and it comes up, and just hit me up, and then, you know, we talk business or whatever from there.
Love you, man.
Or
love
they can get in touch with you.
Make sure you... Huh?
Or they can get in touch with you.
Oh, no, they can't.
They'll hit you up on Facebook.
Listen, there's a tree and a branch for everybody.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Woo-wee, I done told you.
Listen,
be sure to forward me that information so I can post it here on our blog so they can get in contact with you, man. Again, like I said, love you much. Keep up the greatness. Proud of you.
Okay.
And we'll break bread at another time. And family, I want you all to know that we're thankful and grateful to our special featured guest, Imperial Brothers' own L, also known as L Don. You've been listening to, and I am your host, Miss Tanya E., also known as Miss Tanya E., a.k.a. Miss Right Now. And we thank him so much. And, family, I want you all to have a blessed day. And as always, I want you to share your smile, give a compliment, give a hug. Baby, please, I know everybody need a hug. And be a blessing to someone new, you know, because you never know if that may be the last time the person see you or you see that person. And we just want to get some love. Let's love, family, love. So before we go out of here, family, I want to leave you all with the tune that was hot in the UK from Imperial Brothers. And as we leave out for today, family, remember, what we came to do was what? We come to rock, 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 rock. Peace, Brother L. And
all right,
I'll see you next week, family.
I decided to
Hi, this is poet, broadcaster, Oracle Val Jones, and you're listening to the host with the most, Tanya E., on Sound Off, only Fear Fears on Blog Talk.